new commandment, not covenant, new commandment. And recognize that in one sense it was not a new commandment, it was really a distillation of the principles of the Old Testament, yet it was a new covenant, a new commandment in a number of ways, in the sense in which Christ gave it. Looking, my expanded title is, Christ's new commandment was love like his. And while it was commanded in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, to love your neighbor as yourself, yet that is a lesser commandment than to love like Christ loved us. We couldn't have known that. That couldn't have been a commandment until he came, you see. And then by demonstration of his sacrifice, of his love, by the revelation by God of what it cost him to come for our sake, we begin to see how elevated is this command. So John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And it was not the only time he told them this. He understood the importance of repetition. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. There's the pattern. John 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. And so he was to say this a number of times. What I want you to see tonight is the first of three messages dealing with the application of love. As we have learned of God's love for us, of Christ's love for us, we recognize that there is, it's a fatherly, a parental type of love that says, I'm not asking much from you back. I am loving you and sharing loving deeds, actions, gifts, all these things with you to build you up, to meet your needs. I love you because that's who I am. And parents don't say, I'll love you if you're, you know, if you don't throw up at night or something. It's just we go out and love them, especially when they throw up at night. And that's a real sacrifice. especially if your wife has a sensitive stomach or something, and the dad has to be the one that cleans it all up. I want you to think about this then for what Christ is saying here. Love is your badge as a Christian. I hear it a lot, and I understand that, and I never want to be thought as taking away from holiness, because this is one of the reasons Christ came, to deliver us from this present evil age, give us the strength to overcome this wickedness. But you know, they say that if the Christian is to be known by anything, he should be known by holiness. Well, that was the Pharisees. You know, they were known by their Pharisaical holiness, and that became their goal. Let's make sure everybody knows how holy I am. What are you doing with that ruler? I'm going out there and measure my garden, cut off a tenth of it, and give it to God because I'm so holy. And wow, you know. And so everybody, they got their reward. He said, no, your holiness is important, but love will be your badge. So he says in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. John Calvin, I thought, had this thought out pretty well. He said this, it is called new, not because there was no command before which required men to love their fellow men, for one great precepts of the law was that they should love their neighbor as themselves. Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. Christ was to emphasize this to the Jews when he you know, they ask the question, yeah, we get this idea, but then who is my neighbor? I'd like to make this just as narrow a thing as possible so that I'm loving that neighbor, but if I determine they're not a neighbor, then I don't have to love them. And I don't know if you if it comes to your mind, but he told a story, told a parable to answer that question. And anybody tell me what that parable was? Yes?
The Good Samaritan.
The Good Samaritan. Now, you think about that, the Good Samaritan is just a good example and so on, but he was answering the question, who is my neighbor? You see? And so what answer was that? Pardon? Everyone. So the picture is that Jew to Jew, they weren't helping. Priest or Levite, at least, to Jew, they weren't helping. But the foreigner, the exile, the degraded one, the Samaritan, the half-breed, he helped. And so who fulfilled God's law, you see? The neighbor is the person at hand that you can help. That is essentially the answer, you see. We can't help everybody. We don't know everybody's needs. We don't have the financial resources to help thousands upon thousands of people, probably. I don't, anyway. The point is this, that when the person is at hand and that situation presents itself to you and you have the ability to help, that means that's your neighbor. And this is given in the Old Testament. John Calvin continues, but it was new because it had never before been made that by which any class or body of men had been known or distinguished. In other words, that badge. This is the first time he said, this is how you will be known. And notice how he emphasizes it. But in the case of Christians, they were not to be known by distinctions of wealth or learning or fame. They were not to aspire to earthly honors. They were not to adopt any peculiar style of dress or badge, but they were to be distinguished by tender and constant attachment to each other. This was to surmount all distinction of country, of color, of rank, of office, of sect. You can always find the differences and why we don't like those kind of people. But within the Christian realm, he says, with your brothers, love them. Love them as I have loved you. So love is your badge as a Christian. I could ask then, you know, are you wearing your badge? I've been to convention situations where you weren't allowed in some of the rooms unless you had your convention badge, you know. And the thing is, do you wear that badge? The badge is not the snooty nose of holiness and condemning others. To be known as Christ's followers, you have to love as he loved. The second thing that I'd like to share with you is that love is your prime directive as a Christian. Galatians 5, 13 and 14, our brother Jeb taught through Galatians for us, brought us to this passage where the Apostle Paul had told these Gentile Galatians who were not trained in the law, but were being tempted to adopt the law as the model of their life, and he said, no, you're not under law. And you're not under ritual, which takes in all of the old Gentile religions. And he pointed out to us that at this point, the thinking Galatian would say, well, wait a minute. If it's not the law that God gave, or it's not the rituals that our tradition gave us, what is the direction of our life? What are we to take as the direction of our life? And he comes to this verse, these verses. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, freedom, not under bondage of the law. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. in other words, you have liberty. Don't use it for yourself. But by love, serve one another. The contrast between liberty and serving here is quite illuminating. Liberty is freedom. Serving is slavery. And that's the important concept, I think, here. That we are to consider ourselves indeed lowly slaves to others, but that within the bounds of love. The love of God, so we don't do ungodly things in the name of love. We do not do irresponsible things, because love would restrain us from that, because love always seeks the best for the person loved. Then there are ranks of love, and so husband and wife and father and family have responsibilities above the responsibility of you to a stranger. And so giving all your money to a stranger because he has the cardboard sign, not something that you need to do because that money is needed for your family. God has ranks of responsibility like that. He goes on in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The word can mean saying, but I thought it was interesting that he emphasizes one word. And in that, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, the word is love, you see. And so it is that sacrificial giving of yourself to meet the needs of others that is the key. So the reason that we struggle against this directive, we would rather go by law keeping, because then I can be better than you at that. You see, this is entirely selfless. This is giving up on me. This is just using me to help you. One preacher said, he says, I have preachers coming to me and saying, I can't stand it. My people, they just use me. And he said, wasn't it you that was praying, use me, O Lord? And then when you get used, you feel abused? This is what it's all about. This is when you say, it's not about me. That's what love says. It's not about me. And so with our, not just our church family, but with all believers, we need to say, it's not about me. It is about you. We have that wonderful choreography where each one of us is kind of circling the other, seeing, do they have any needs, you see? We're the people who want to come to you and say, how are you doing? And you say, oh, fine. You say, no, really, how are you doing? What really is going on? Where is a need? Is there something in those needs that I can do to help? Maybe not, but I'd like to know. I'd like to help if I could. If I could be just of some comfort with my words, if I could be of some help financially, if I could be of some help physically to aid you in what you're doing. And so love is your prime directive as a Christian. This is ultimate. This is that which sets the Christian on his path. That is to be God-like, and God is love. To be Christ-like, who said, love one another as I have loved you. This is your goal. So you are to be a servant, but bounded by love. And so love, as God has given us the love, as God has shown us what this love is about, then that love says this is how far you may go within this, it's the channel of love, and you are a servant within that channel. Jameson Fawcett Brown said this: if you must be servants, then be servants to one another in love. While free as to legalism, be bound by love. The article in the Greek personifies love in the abstract. It's the love, you see, to serve one another. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Albert Barnes said it this way: when there is love, there is no servitude. You are serving, but you're not feeling like a slave. Duty, he says, is pleasant, and offices of kindness agreeable. There is a joy to be spent loving others. John Calvin said this, in a word, if by love we serve one another, we shall always have regard to edification, building of people up, so that we shall not grow wanton, but use the grace of God for his honor and the salvation of our neighbors. We ought to be known as the loving person. I was pleased the other day. I was telling my wife that I'd like to, on the Monday before Valentine's Day, I wanted to bring some candy and give it to the students and the people there at school. And so she helped me out. We found some cute bags, and we got some bags of candy and divided it up, sort of like goodie boxes. And had funny stickers on it, like "You're crazy fun," you know, stuff like that. And so I gave them to people, and one young lady said, "Pastor Weigel, you just made my day." And you know, then on Wednesday was the chapel time, and Dr. Halcom, who I had given him one of the bags to, and his wife, he said, when you love, you give. And then he mentioned, he says, Monday, Pastor Weigel came in and gave us things. And the implication was that I wasn't trying to curry favor, you know. I wasn't trying to get anything out of these people. It was just a matter of love. And I was pleased to hear that reference in that way. The Expositor's Bible Commentary warns of the degrading philosophy of legalism. When we say what our prime directive is, and that it is love, then we ought to understand why God doesn't give us the other, you see. And I thought they thought this pretty well through. He says this, the legalist practically takes the same view of human nature as the sensualist. He knows nothing of the desire of the spirit arrayed against that of the flesh, which goes back in Galatians to the earlier verse, later verse. Nothing, they know nothing of the mastery over the heart that belongs to the love of Christ. This is the thing that the law can never do. It tells you what you must do, but it doesn't give you any power. The love of God in the heart gives you that ability to do these things. In the legalist's analysis, the soul consists of so many desires, each blindly seeking its own gratification, which must be drilled into order under external pressure by an intelligent application of law. Fear of punishment, hope of reward, the influence of the social environment, these are, as they hold, the factors which create character and shape our moral being. Pain and pleasure, they tell us, are the masters of human life. And so it is, again, then just beat them up till they obey, you see. Reward them when they do the right thing. Train these animals. You and I need to recognize that God has given us a better way. Christ's half-brother, James, writing in the book of James, called this the King's Law. James 2:8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. A.T. Robertson explains royal law. He's a Greek expert. It can mean a law fit to guide a king, or such as a king would choose, or even the king of laws, that the law itself has been crowned. It's the royal law. Jesus had said that on the law of love hang all the law and the prophets, in Matthew 22:40. And he had given the golden rule as the substance of the law and of the prophets, Matthew 7:12. And Matthew Poole said this, the great law, which is the same to all rich and poor, the common rule by which all are to act as the king's way. The king's highway was something built for the king, and it was a highway. They built it up. They mounded it up. There was no lurking valleys for thieves to hide and come in and steal. So the highway was a way that was high. And they would build these things for the king to travel from this place to that place so that it would be easily guarded and so on. And we get to walk in the royal path. Thirdly, let me share with you that love then is your general direction for living. It's not only the prime directive, but it is to be applied in every area of your life. This is what Christian growth really is all about, learning how to love and apply it to every area of your life. And let me just list the verses and let them preach to you. Consider loving actions to be your debt. We're not talking about loving feelings, to sit there by yourself and hug yourself and say, ooh, I just love those people. This is actually in action, doing the loving thing. Consider it to be your debt, what you owe. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but, except, to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And there is our debt, you see. Something that we owe. Again, love will motivate you to do good things for others. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And here he means all men, that everybody that becomes our neighbor, anybody that's at hand. Especially, though, he says, unto them who are of the household of faith, our fellow believers. So this isn't to be completely restricted to them. If you think about it, we learn to love by loving God, by loving Christ for his sacrifice. Then we are surrounded by Christians, and we learn sort of step by step to give up ourselves enough to love them. But then as we do that, we say, this is the way of life, and then we are Christians without borders. We are lovers without borders. We are people who will find the opportunity, like the Samaritan did with the Jewish man, to help one another and to say, God has made us fellow human creatures, and so I will help you as I can. We learn to love our brethren and then expand to all men. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. And so the person who the Apostle Paul sacrificed to bring himself to give the gospel to these people, and he says, do you see the love that I extended to you, to give you the best thing in the world, to acquaint you with God and his way of life? And he says, I want you to abound and increase in this area of love. Now, we often are tempted to make this a pretend thing, you know. And so we learn that fake smile and lean in and shake the hand, you know. And then I don't want anything to do with them, but I and I've come to recognize that thing as, get away from me. If it's not real, it's not real. So if we are to love as Christ loved us, it has to be real. It must be pure, and it must be fervent. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto, and here's the goal, unfeigned, unpretended love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You say, it's asking a lot. That's giving a lot. That's it. That's when you lose yourself, you see. And in losing yourself for others, you find a real life. And then finally, when we love as Christ loved, we are in the very bounds of God Himself. I'm not sure I know what I'm talking about here, but you see, we see it in the Scripture that entering into love, we enter into the realm of God. So 1 John 4:7, 11, and 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You see that? Where did this love come from? It came from God. And so we're doing the God thing when we love one another. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Down in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. How did God love us? He didn't find something so wonderful in us that he said, I've just got to have them for myself. He saw something despicable. He saw something miserable. He saw something filthy. And he said, I can help that one. I can give them what they can't give themselves. And that was his motive of love. And so he says, if God so loved us, if God thus loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. But we recognize him, don't we? We recognize him by this loving thing. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. See, God is love. Love is of God. If love is in us, then God is in us. And his love, is perfected in us. It goes farther than what I can even imagine or try to explain. But in some way, God's own love brought within us does that perfecting work. It becomes greater than we know. And in so doing, learning how to love one another is the training of the Christian life. So it is his new commandment to love like he loved. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, when we recognize the simplicity of your direction, we may be confused that it will be easy to do. But the mountain over which we have to climb, the hurdles that we have to jump, are all about our own selfishness and self-interest. As a child, we're all about crying for what we want and crying if we don't get our way. We are all about self. And many people never learn anything else. I ask that you might help us to be wise, to be greater than ourselves, to learn from you what love is, and then to begin to apply it first to you and then to the other Christians around us, those who have mentored us, those who have encouraged us, those who have prayed for us. We can begin to seek to do the same to them, to build them up, to meet their needs, to cushion their problems. But then, Father, we are to apply it to others as well. So we ask that you might put us in this training of selfless love, of service, willing bond servants to others around us, all within the bounds of godly love. With heads bowed, eyes closed, would you say, Pastor, there is this area of my growth that I need work on. And God helping me, that's what I want to work on. That's what I want to develop. pray for me. God will help me to build up my understanding of loving one another. Pray for me. Yes, amen. Yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Father, then we bow before you, seeking your desire for us to be our own, to not live according to our way, our plan, our ambition, our desire, but rather to apply all that you have given us of mind and will and emotion, to apply it all to serving you by loving others, to love you first and then to obey you by loving others. Help us then to learn what it means, and in that we will become the Christians that you want us to be. We will have the very badge of our Christianity, not to wear flauntingly, for that would be contrary to the attitude of love, but they will know that we are Christians because we acted like Christ to them. They could see Jesus in us. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.